want everybody to just grab your Bible. If you have one of these, if you have a Bible, you can take one from the pew in front of you. If you can stay standing here for just a second. Sorry, y'all. Tricked you. I want you to hold this Bible up. Okay, everybody hold your Bible up. And I just want to remind us that what we're holding here, especially as we focus on the book of Acts, is the adventure story of the early church as they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit, just telling the story about Jesus. Is that pretty cool, church? Amen. You may be seated. You know, it just struck me this morning that our ability to hear this morning is dependent on a few factors. And the first is this: how much you believe on a scale of 1 to 10 God wants to speak to you this morning. So I want you to think about that, and no judgment, just what is it? How much do you believe on a scale of 1 to 10 God wants to speak to you this morning? Got a number? Now, I want to give you another thought, a factor in this. How much on a scale of 1 to 10 do you want God to say something to you, okay? Because sometimes we'd rather just do our own thing, right? So no guilt here. With those numbers in mind, I'm going to pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, would you create a greater desire in us? Would you create a greater belief in us that the God who created the world and all it contains, the God who cannot be held in a box made by human hands, wants to speak to us? In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm so glad we're here today, because a few weeks ago I said this, that hard work and planning is not enough for us to go out and make a difference in this city and to have conversations about Jesus and to see God do something. And I know we got a lot of planners here, right? And I said that it is not enough. And today we're going to look at this story and we're going to make some observations about what the Holy Spirit of God does and some things to pray for, because what happens in Acts 8 is this. The Spirit of God causes the gospel to break through out of Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria, just as Jesus had promised would happen. You see, the early believers, when the thing was happening there in Jerusalem, they were all Jews, and they thought it was just for them. And the Holy Spirit has to do something that their planning can't do, that their hearts aren't really open to at that time, and bring this breakthrough. If you've actually been very carefully observing our posters for this series, on this map, up till last week, we just had this little blue part there displaying that the gospel started there in Jerusalem. Now it's going out to Judea and Samaria. I'm going to say five things. You'll notice on the notes, it's all there because I didn't want you to miss any of it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And what I'm really hoping is that you're going to take this and you're going to put this somewhere on your refrigerator, steering wheel of your car. That might be dangerous. On your kitchen table, you're going to make a whole bunch of copies of this. You're going to put it everywhere. You're going to remind your friends about it. And you're going to think about this on Monday. Here's the first thing I want you to hear. You're going to hear that the Spirit transforms obstacles into opportunities for the gospel, okay? Now, before I jump into this, let me make sure that we all caught the story, okay? Here's the story. You have an Ethiopian eunuch. I want you to know he is a very unlikely candidate for conversion to Christ. And yet through the supernatural work of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit, he believes. And let me say again, it didn't happen because a lot of people, really smart people, got together and said, we're going to have an evangelistic strategy in this area. And we're going to go on a road and start handing out gospel tracts. It wasn't because of any of that. He was an Ethiopian, lived in Africa. He had come all the way from Jerusalem, from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, which means he traveled at least 500 miles to get there. We're going to talk later about why he did that. I want you to think about all the tens of thousands of Jews, Gentiles, and Samaritans that needed Jesus at that time, and the Lord sovereignly says, and you know what? I want you. And I want him. And I want to remind you as you're going about your life that there are individuals, people with real names from real places with real stories that God has said, you know what? Like the three people Christian talked about. So Philip is one of those guys who, if you remember, was picked along with Stephen to wait tables. It wasn't because he was less than, because now we find him going and preaching the gospel. And it says that it through the work of the Spirit in verse 26, an angel says, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, that's all the information he gets. You just go to this little spot on this road. And then it says the Holy Spirit, when he gets there, says, go see that chariot, go join the chariot. And church, I just want to remind us, for us planners, sometimes the supernatural guidance of the Spirit just comes one step at a time. Got that? That's just extra. That's not even on your notes, okay? Comes one step at a time. And the timing of the Spirit proves perfect because just as Philip goes up to that chariot, at that moment, the adventure really gets good. He overhears this Ethiopian eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah, this particular verse that just has the core of the gospel that points to Jesus in some ways like no other verse from the Old Testament, like a sheep, verse 32. He was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? Because he's cut off, for his life is taken from the earth. And all of a sudden, Philip is really clear on what God is doing, shares the gospel, the guy believes and is baptized. Got it? That's the story. Now, let me go to your notes here. The first thing I want to you to think about on Monday is the Spirit actually transforms obstacles into opportunities for the gospel. Just want to connect this back last week when we said this, that suffering can be glory for you, right? Because in chapter 8, verse 1, we read that Saul approved of Stephen's execution, first martyr. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. So here's what happened. The floodgates were open. Persecution bred persecution. As more water has been coming down White Rock Lake, more trees are falling, right? I saw a tree blocking Northwest Highway this morning. And just as the floodwaters open, more stuff starts getting ripped apart. That's what's happening in the early church. However, obstacles become opportunities for the gospel. It says, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Verse 4, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. It got them out. Example number 1, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And Philip goes and he preaches to a magician named Simon, and he comes to know the Lord. Now, here's the thing, church. You can bank on this. That when some awful thing happens, and we are saying, I can't believe this is happening, the Holy Spirit of God is leveraging that for the gospel. I want you to see a video of Jim Wilson. I got Jim to just speak to my cell phone this week, as he tells the story of a guy in his life who had experienced this over and over again and therefore challenges Jim. Watch this.
So 12 years ago, right in these church offices, I had a conversation that was really an inflection point in my life. In 2006, I signed up to go on a trip to with the church to Sudan, and I'd never been overseas, let alone gone to Africa. And Sudan wasn't the safest of places. They'd been in civil war for a generation, so I was really nervous. I arranged a meeting with Celestin Musakura, who leads an African ministry. He's Rwandan. He has seen genocide. He has seen persecution. And he knows Africa. And so I got the missions minister to arrange a meeting. I'm sitting in the meeting with him, and I lasted about 10 minutes of small talk before I asked him, all casual like, so Celestin, tell me about the, is it safe in Sudan? And I will never forget what he said next. He paused, he looked down, and then he looked me right in the eye and he said, I am so sick of talking to Americans about their personal security. Did Jesus postpone salvation because it wasn't safe? So that was a verbal punch. And in spite of that, I left the meeting encouraged. I was confronted with the question, did I really trust God? And I decided that I did, and so I went on the trip. And since then, God has led me to do so much that I feel like has been a part of his work, traveling to a number of different countries, and probably most profoundly, 5 years later, in 2011, my wife and I stepped on a plane and went to China and brought home the coolest, cutest little girl you could ever imagine, something I never thought I'd get to do or be blessed by, and that's just God's redemption and transformation of my life.
Let's thank Jim. Can you imagine? There's a little girl in China in an orphanage that God had his eye on her. And because the Holy Spirit transforms obstacles into opportunities for the gospel, Jim and Michelle get to love on her today, and their family is different. So here's the prayer I have for us. Monday, we pray. Church, all of us, we're going to be praying multiple times on Monday. Holy Spirit, help me to see obstacles as opportunities, okay? You got it? So when, hey, listen, Monday, here, you use this, guys. When you look at your phone and you see the bad news, right? Okay? You pray, Holy Spirit, help me to see obstacles as opportunities. Because, church, and all these stories aren't going to be told, but listen, you know, there's Florence wreaked havoc on the East Coast, but I'm going to tell you what's happening that you're not going to hear about because it happens in every one of these. Believers are going to gather, they're going to care for people, and they're going to get to be a part of the adventure of telling the story as they're wading through waters and all of that stuff. It happens, church. So you pray, Holy Spirit, help me to see opportunities. Obstacles is opportunities. Next one here. The Spirit knows no borders, physical, political, economic, or racial. Okay, church, we got to get this. This is what we're going to think about on Tuesday. The Spirit knows no borders, physical, political, economic, or racial. Because here's you got in this story. You got an Ethiopian eunuch, okay? We got to think about that. We're talking about a man from Africa. He is black. He lives in the Upper Nile region. He is a eunuch, which means he is castrated. Got it? Now, this was common if you had not been born in a royal family and you were on a leadership track with that family. That's the cost of being on that leadership track. Now you have Philip, okay? So you have this Ethiopian eunuch, and now you have Philip, a middle-class Jewish man. These two men could not have been more different. They could not have been more racially different. They're from different geographical locations. The Ethiopian eunuch has been sexually altered. And I want you to try to imagine the kind of conversations that happened around Philip's table, his family table. Because you know what? We all grew up in families. And there were conversations around those tables, right? That helped us think about what we think about people that are different than us. A common Jewish prayer around these times went like this. This was for men. Lord, I thank you that you did not make me a woman, slave, or Gentile. And I will tell you, as I say that, I feel some tension. And I want to say, ladies, that Jesus was always, always, always putting to death that kind of crap, okay? And you need to understand that Jewish men were actually severely instructed not to associate with people different from them because they would be defiled. You see, the story is so clear in this, how Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch come together, that the Holy Spirit of God needed to do something to bring them together, that the Holy Spirit of God needed to bring a breakthrough for those two people to come together. The Holy Spirit says, they got him at the intersection, see that chariot, go up to that chariot and stay near the chariot. You know, I'm thinking the chariot's moving, so I'm thinking Philip is running alongside the chariot. Remember we said week one of this, Jesus's command and then his promise was, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. See, here's the deal. We said that what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is creating, is a international, worldwide, even universal movement. And the trajectory of the Spirit is always this. It's got to go out. It was never, ever, 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 ever intended for God's people to sit in a place and learn more and more and more and more and more and more until they were bloated and never did anything with it and never went and told that story that they were hearing over and over again. And I want you to hear this, church. That the Spirit is grieved when we don't love what God loves. Do you agree with that? Can we agree that the Spirit is grieved when we don't love what God loves? Can I have an amen? Okay, I'm gonna pay you for them, okay? So here's what we know. From this story and all of Acts, this great adventure, if Christians of one race or culture or status ignore or treat with contempt people of another race or culture or status, the Spirit is grieved. Amen. I owe you $10. Come up afterwards, okay? And I want us just to sit with that for a moment. And I want you to hear something, because I am very, very aware in the political climate that we're dealing in today, that even that statement can be very, very, very guilt-inducing. And I want to tell you what I believe God has told me. That no matter how much criticism I get on this issue of what I'm saying or not saying, I believe God has told me that it is not my job to guilt anybody here today. But to say, Holy Spirit of God, wake us up and move us out. Wake us up and move us out. Do something that no amount of guilt and arguments and discussions can do. I received an incredible gift about 6 months ago when a friend of mine here that I've known for a long time, lives in my neighborhood, Diane Cozart, just said to me, Neil, I want to be honest with you and tell you that this whole Vickery thing that we've been doing, Northwest Community Center and Vickery, there was skepticism because of my feelings toward Muslims. But I went over there, and I want you to hear her story.
This is my house in Lake Highlands, and I do feel safe here. It's a good feeling to be here at home. I haven't always felt safe, though, in my community. I would say, starting with 9/11, I realized safety is maybe not where I always live. Then 2 years ago, I was asked, surprisingly, to help train the refugee women at Vickery Trading Company with sewing skills. I felt like God was leading me to say yes, but I did have to put my big girl pants on and realize that I had been growing a mental fear of the whole Muslim culture. And here I was going to be interfacing with women 4 or 5 days, well, 3 or 4 days every week during the summer. So I said yes, I jumped in with both feet, and that was the biggest surprise of my life. We did learn sewing skills, but Stephanie very intentionally put us together in groups of two or three with other mentors and the women. And so we talked about things that were just girl kinds of things, you know. What was your grandmother like? What's your favorite food? What's something embarrassing that happened to you? And so we started having just natural conversations, women to women, not being very aware of the culture, except there were some language funny things that happened. So over that summer, I grew to have some very valuable friendships with women from Afghanistan, Iraq, and Congo. And the other benefit I would say is that it's kind of launched me in the rest of my life. Now when I'm at the grocery store or at a restaurant or just doing something normal, particularly if it's a time of turmoil, you know, we've had something tragic happen in our nation, God just gives me the courage to reach out and touch a woman's shoulder who wears a veil and tell her that I am just so sorry for the problems that it's made for you to live here and for us to live with you, but I'm coming in peace, and I'd like to say welcome. So it's a new season for me.
Wow, yes. Did y'all hear her at the end say, I'm coming in peace? That's putting your big girl panties on. That's her words, not mine. Diane, you don't know what a gift that was today. Thank you. So here's our prayer. For Tuesday, y'all, we're going to pray this. Holy Spirit, move me across borders this week. Holy Spirit, move me across borders this week. And you know what? I love this because you're saying, okay, Holy Spirit, you got to do what somehow I haven't been willing to do myself, right? Holy Spirit, move me across borders this week. It may look like having a conversation with somebody you normally wouldn't have a conversation with. It may look like reaching out to someone. Maybe you've made a bunch of stuff up in your head about them. Whatever that is, Holy Spirit, move me across borders this week because this is the trajectory of the Spirit. Who knows no borders? Okay, next one. The Spirit creates never imagined moments. This is what we see in this story. And I'm thinking about Philip. I got to believe Philip's thinking, I am on an adventure here. You know, I call these sometimes divine appointments. Do you think Philip ever imagined that one day an angel's going to say to him, go down to a desert road. go down there. And do you think Philip ever imagined this just the right time at the right place in the right way? There was going to be this Ethiopian eunuch who had traveled 500 miles, was hanging out in the temple for a while, was heading home, and at just the right time, Philip's going to see him. And do you think Philip ever imagined that he would be running alongside a chariot doing his interval training right then and there? And as he's running alongside that chariot, it just so happens at the right time, at the right place, this dude is reading Isaiah 53. That's what I mean when I say the Spirit creates never imagined moments, divine opportunities. And so I was riding my bike with my friend Tony Long a couple weeks ago at White Rock Lake, and Tony so encouraged me because he just kept wanting to talk about people he was talking to about Jesus. And I want you to see just this unique, unimaginable moments that God keeps creating for Tony. Go ahead, let's hear it.
This bench was dedicated to Paul Pond, my brother-in-law, who passed away about 6 years ago. And we wanted to dedicate something for him to honor him, and he loved White Rock Lake. And so we dedicated this bench, and there's a little placard here that says that he's an avid lover of Jesus Christ, his family, his friends in White Rock Lake. And I never imagined the kind of conversations that I would have around this bench. I love to ride around White Rock Lake, and many times I don't even have to stop. We just pass this bench and I mention it to people that I'm riding with, and next thing you know, I'm in a conversation about Christ. But just the other day, I was on a run on an early Sunday morning, and I sat down and I was praying here at the bench, and this man sat down next to me and he asked me, you know, what are you doing? And I told him I was praying, and he said, well, would you pray for me? I'm going through some struggles. And I said, yeah, let's pray right now. And I'm telling you, I never knew that this bench would have such an impact in starting conversations for Jesus Christ. And another time I sat down on the bench next to a man, and I started telling him the story of the bench, and he turned around and read the plaque on the bench, and he said, what does this mean about avid lover of Jesus Christ? And so that launched us into this conversation about Jesus. And I mean, it's amazing how this bench has been such a witness for Christ.
Can we thank Tony for that? You know, I just like the outfit Tony had on. That was sweet. You know, I got to tell you, Tony's sister's here today. And that bench is for her husband. And she came up and told me about just the challenges of just being able to put that bench there and have the name of Jesus on that plaque. And that they just kind of kept working through this. And Tony, I got to tell you this, and this is a Goofy Neil thing, okay? Which you've gotten a lot of those recently, but yesterday when I was riding around the lake seeing the flooding, I went by the bench and all these benches are underwater and the water was just right up to the edge of that little concrete pad. And I just thought about you guys and God's desire to provide and care and give conversations. And even in this moment, Lila, for God to just take care of you. So here's what we're going to pray, church, this week. We're going to pray on Wednesday, Holy Spirit, stretch my imagination to believe you for divine appointments, okay? Please hear me say, you don't have to force anything. I'm not asking you to figure out anything, make anything happen. Just Holy Spirit, you stretch my imagination to believe you for divine appointments, okay? Next one, the Spirit awakens the unlikely heart. You like that? The Spirit awakens the unlikely heart. And I hope that by the time I get done this point, we would all realize that that's our hearts too, okay? So I want you to think again, you know, why is this black African reading the Isaiah scroll? From 500 miles away from Jerusalem, why is he reading it so intently? He is a eunuch. He's got a position of power. It says in here in verse 27 there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This guy, he was in charge of all her treasure. He's the CFO, okay? And he's made this huge sacrifice of time to go there, but he also had made a huge sacrifice of himself to actually be in that leadership position, right? Remember, that's a culture that valued family above all else. You know, we look and say, that guy had it pretty good because we value personal achievements. Here's a guy who, in a culture that valued family and legacy, he can't have one because of the cost that he paid to get his personal achievement. And he now makes a 1,000-mile journey, leaves all of that. It would have taken a long time, would have at least been risky, and maybe he could have even lost his position. But somehow he's so interested. There's an awakening happening for him of the God of the Bible. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's this sense of emptiness. And when he gets to the temple, here's what you got to understand. He goes on a 500-mile journey. He's walking and walking and walking, and he gets to the temple. And you know what? You can bet a lot of money on this. When he got to the temple, I bet you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he couldn't get in. He was still separated and he was still cut off. Here's why. The Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law governed life, right? And one of the things it did, it governed who could actually get in. If you had mold in your house, for a time you were separated or cut off. If you had touched a dead body, for a time you were separated or cut off from the community and how closely you could get to God. Here was the purpose of that law. It was to help people understand that you do not just go waltzing into the presence of a holy God. That really all of us are excluded and cut off. You see, Paul would say it later this way: everybody here has sinned and falls short of the glory and the holiness of God. And you need a way to be able to get in. And you see, one of those laws said this: no eunuch can ever go in and worship God. That's why I say he was turned away, still excluded. And imagine he's riding home and he is poring over the book of Isaiah. He's in Isaiah 53. It is a section in your Old Testament that talks about the suffering servant who we know as Jesus. Surely he was reading a good part of that section, and I want you to see what is happening just three chapters later in Isaiah 56. This is mind-blowing. Let's look at it here. Let not the foreigner, Ethiopian, who has joined himself to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. I wonder if that caught his attention. If that didn't, and let not the eunuch. You believe God is looking and picking individuals? Let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. You know what that means? I can't have a seed. I can't bear fruit. Let not the eunuch say, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. He couldn't have sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. You see, he's reading in that day. This, you talk about an unimaginable moment, awakening an unlikely heart, overcoming an obstacle of not being able to get into the temple. That day he reads, you're going to have an everlasting name. And so he says, wait a minute. When it says in verse 32, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? He doesn't get one, for his life is taken away. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or somewhere else? And Philip says, somebody else. And his name is Jesus. And he tells him the story of Jesus. He tells him a story. Maybe it went like this, of the God who became a man, went to a manger. And he lived this perfect life. He would have never, ever, ever been cut off. It would never be said of him, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he goes to a cross after living that perfect life, and something happens on the cross. He's hanging there and he prays something. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you excluded me? Why have you separated me? Here's why. Because a eunuch wants to be included. Jesus is excluded so he could be included. And what the scripture is saying when it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we're all like that eunuch. And Jesus was excluded so that you could be included. That is the good news of the gospel, church. Amen. And that, church, is the adventure and the story that you get to tell. And hey, let me tell you, don't think that person, no matter how hard it seems, could never be interested. I want to show you a little video here. Vila came home just so excited the other day, my wife, after she had been to our Northwest Community Center in Vickery. And I want you to just hear her little story that really connects to this here.
2 weeks ago, I was in one of the rooms at the Northwest Community Center, in a room like this. And I showed up for my second day of helping with the English classes. And I had a sheet of paper, this one, that talked about stories. And so we asked the questions of our lesson that day was to just ask questions about stories and talk about them. So the lady who I was paired with is a Muslim, and she was telling me about a great story she had just heard. One of the other volunteers had been at her house the week before and brought her a Bible. And they were reading it through together. They read the story of creation. And she actually explained to me the whole story of creation. And in detail, she knew about different parts. And it was a little bit confusing to her. And I was so excited that I got to say, well, maybe we could get kind of a more simple version. And I suggested that she read the Jesus Storybook Bible. So we made a plan. And the same lady who brought her the first Bible went back that week and brought her a Jesus Storybook Bible so she could understand the stories of Jesus and fall in love with them. And I'm really happy that I just got to be a part of that on my second day.
Isn't she cute? Let's give her a hand. I mean, how cool though, it was her second week and she said, I just want to go there because I want to talk to some people about Jesus. In her second week, somebody's talking about story. God puts all that together. So here's what we're going to pray Thursday, y'all. Look at your notes. Awaken a God longing in, and you fill in the blank, okay? Hey, let me challenge you though. Don't put an easy one in there. You know what I mean? I want you to put somebody in there that you've given up on. I want you to put somebody in there that's been resistant, belligerent, whatever it is. It might be a person, it might be a group of people, but I want you to put somebody in there that it's a stretch for you to believe this. And you say, Holy Spirit, awaken a God longing in that person. Now, let me go to Friday here. The Spirit brings breakthrough for the gospel. Summarizing everything I've said, the Spirit brings breakthrough for the gospel. And I just want to put in context what we're doing over the next few weeks, okay? As the gospel breaks through from Jerusalem. Chapter 8, persecution. Philip goes and he talks to a magician who, it's really interesting, everybody was giving him attention. Now they're giving attention to Jesus. He talks to a eunuch who comes to know Jesus after his 1,000-mile journey. Then you get to a guy named Saul who was a Pharisee and terrorist, and he has this breakthrough when light breaks through and knocks him off his high horse. And then the gospel comes to, in chapter 10, a guy named Cornelius, a centurion, a Roman centurion. And you know how the gospel comes to him? He gets this breakthrough vision, but it's not just him. It's Peter, a Jewish man, who can't ever imagine going to a Roman centurion. And he gets a vision because this has been the struggle, church, for the church from the beginning. It's not just all about those who are in this room. There's such a bigger adventure and a story that we are invited into. Now, I want to show you one more little video from the Northwest Community Center. And I want you to know that about 17 years ago, when God gave me the vision or dream for that thing, I will tell you, I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt before we ever had it happening that it was going to be a blessing to us. And you can hear just how it was a blessing to Vila, that it was going to be a blessing for us in this room, how it was a blessing for Diane. I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was going to be a blessing for refugees. Y'all, Thomas, an Eritrean refugee and pastor, when I was there 2 weeks ago, begged me to tell you how thankful they are for that community center where they're having church on Sunday morning right now, okay? And you know, Thomas now is the principal at Conrad High School. Okay, so I knew it was going to be a blessing for refugees, and I believed it would be a blessing for this city. 30 partnerships with all around this city. But you know, I didn't know how it was going to help me trust God for a breakthrough for the gospel for this body. I want you to hear something that happened about 10 days ago at our Northwest Community Center.
Hey, so I'm here with my friend John. We're at the Northwest Community Center in our youth room in front of this wonderful mural. And I gotta tell you something really cool that happened just last week. On Friday, we had a visit from the United Nations, the High Commission that focuses on refugee resettlement. And y'all, this is a big deal that God has chosen to give us favor and be able to talk with people who are representing what is really happening around the globe. It was such a big deal because even just 5 years ago, groups like the UN or the major resettlement agencies kind of were not wanting to partner with us because we're a church and what does that mean? And just a lot of unknowns. And yet God has done something amazing to be able to have them come out and say, we have heard so much that we wanted to come and visit and see what is going on here in Dallas. Not only was it a great visit, but we had a great conversation in this room, and I want John to tell you a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was very great to see them coming here as we were talking about how everyone is welcome and the presentation of this mural that it represents that there are many doors in this earth, there are many ways people think to heaven, but there is only one door to eternal life. So that was very exciting. It made us happy. We can appreciate how God is giving us favor.
What an awesome opportunity to showcase what God is doing in this city, but even just in this very room to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thrilled with it and excited to see what God does.
Amen.
Can we give God praise, y'all? I mean, y'all get what's happened? The United Nations was there because you know what? There were some obstacles called people in war-torn countries getting thrown into refugee camps, and they ended up here becomes an opportunity. And the Spirit, who knows no borders, brings the United Nations together. And unlikely hearts of people that John got to talk to that day. And so we're praying, God, would you make this, give a God awakening to this person? You see, here's why I say that this Vickery, Northwest Community Center in Vickery is about breakthrough. Because I hope, church, that it emboldens us to pray and to believe that we could be a part of the adventure of telling the story of Jesus to the world. Can you imagine, church? Can you imagine if you were Philip that day? Do you think that was cool? Do you think he was thinking, man, this is freaking awesome. So here's what I'm gonna ask us to pray. Knowing that people have said to me, Neil, when I've had 133 conversations now with people about this whole thing, about having conversations about Jesus and the thing that comes up over and over again, Neil, I'm a little hesitant. I need boldness. I'm at a wedding 8 days ago and the first guy up to me says, Neil, I need boldness. I'm excited about this, but I need boldness. So here's what I'm going to tell you, that it's nothing I can do for you. I can't even do it for myself, but we're going to pray. Look at your notes there on Friday. Make us risk takers. make us risk takers for conversations about Jesus. No guilt here, church. No guilt. Nobody has to leave here feeling guilty about anything today or any pressure. You just pray. Holy Spirit of God, you do what you love to do, and you make us go out on those waters. Sometimes it seems a little scary. You lead us to places that we would have never, ever thought we would walk. Right, church? So let's stand and let's just pray that together in this song, okay? Okay.